I was preparing this message, page 1116, Romans 1:25-32, I was kind of reflecting and thinking, man, I wonder what, you know, it would have been like to be a preacher 60 years ago or 50 years ago preaching on this particular passage. You know, would the effects of sin and the evil of mankind have been more hypothetical? Would it have been something that we warned about? Because today this passage is maybe the most relevant one we could find in the Bible that describes our culture today. The examples are not, well, it's impossible not to find examples of this and the assault of this type of wickedness. And so it's, like I said, I may be overstating this, but it might be the most clear passage we have about the nature of mankind today as we see it lived out in our world and in our culture today. I pray, therefore, that God would bring us to not only know the truth, but understand why the truth is the truth. Understand why sin is evil and where it comes from. Therefore, please stand for the reading of God's holy word as we continue our study in the book of Romans. We are going to begin verse 25. So it is right at the bottom, right-hand column, verse 25 of 1116. Because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to their parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Verse 32. Though they know that God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them. And this ends the reading of God's holy word. The grass withers, flower fades, but the word of the Lord will stand forever. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I chose, and I always choose the reading portion of our weekly worship. Noah read Genesis 2 today, and it's almost always, or I try to at least have a cross-reference or a subtext to what we're preaching on. And in some ways, what is wrong with the world? Well, everything in Genesis 3 onward. For what was right with the world is Genesis 2. And what we're going to see today is how the evil of evil is actually going in an assault upon the created norms or the way that God designed the world in Genesis 1 and 2 and said, this is good. Verse 18, the question that we might have today, and it is a question that is asked by everybody in our culture today. In fact, if you're not answering this question, you're either being really dishonest or, well, you're not a human being, because every human being recognizes there are things that are wrong with the world. That is the question, isn't it? What's wrong with the world? What's wrong in our culture today? Well, verse 18 tells us. Here's what's wrong with the world. For the wrath of God is revealed against heaven, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. So what is wrong with the world? The wrath of God is being revealed. God is angry, and he is acting upon his anger. Wrath is God's righteous and fair response to injustice or unrighteousness. And here, it is God's righteous and holy response to the suppression of truth by the unrighteousness of man. How and why? Look at verse 25, we skip down. Because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. What is good and what is evil? Evil is not merely the absence of good, it is the hatred of good by doing the opposite. It is taking dominion with no reference to God or his order of things. It is suppressing the truth in order to do what I want on my terms today, or what the culture says will give me meaning and gratification and good feelings. All evil begins, and it necessarily begins, with the suppression of the truth. Why? Because truth is out there. It's plain. It's clear. We'll see that in Scripture today. And it begins with a lie. It's the same lie we tell today is the same lie that Eve told and she believed, the serpent told Eve and she chose to believe and pass on, right? That God is not good, for by his rule and his limitation, he is withholding what I desire and deserve according to my dictate. So meaning, it was never about how good the fruit tasted. It was about the fact that God would tell me I can't do something that I really want to do right now. Therefore, he must not be God, or he must not be good, because he's being unfair to me. Thus warps the mind. The lie is this. Today we say, when we lie, when I sin, it's actually not sin, it's freedom. Freedom is my way on my terms in my time frame, now, according to what I want, or I need, or even what seems to make practical sense to me. If I want it, I'm going to do it on my terms today. Carl Truman says, we live in a victim culture today. So meaning this is related to this. A victim today is not somebody who actually had a crime or a real injustice perpetrated against them. Remember, there are real victims of crimes. There are a lot. There's no such thing as a victimless crime. There are true victims there. And you might be a victim of somebody else's injustice. But Carl Truman says, today, a victim is seen as someone who is not allowed to do what they want on their terms. Therefore, they're a victim. And anybody that would tell them otherwise is the perpetrator. We see that today. Here, the lie, and the great lie, is in fact, it's described here as an exchange of truth. Okay? It's an evil exchange. The Bible says no one can serve two masters. You and I are created to serve God, and yet when we sin, we don't serve God and the sin. We exchange our service of God for the sin, right? So don't ever buy into that notion. It's a complete lie. It's prevalent today that you can still be a Christian and yet take the sexual values from the world. You can still be a Christian and be woke or buy into any number of new Marxist ideas or buy into whatever the culture tells you about transgender, or you can be a Christian and be non-judgmental about those things, right? You can love the world and yet really be a Christian. No, the Bible says this. You either worship and serve one or you serve the other. You can call it what it is, but God is holy and his word demands complete obedience to him on his terms according to what he says, not this kind of a la carte mismatch of the salad bar that I can just kind of grab and pick what I want. That's a salad bar. That's what we do at dinner time. This is not that. We don't get to do it that way, and yet that's how the world operates and thinks it's good, right? Nobody does evil and says, hey, look at me, I'm going to do a bunch of evil and pervert things and make injustice and bring destruction. It's always brought with a smile and an appeal. It's an exchange. For we are made to worship and be loyal and to be led by something. We live in a cosmic universe, and the evil exchange is the worship of the God who is there, here according to Scripture, for the creature who is there and then not there. So what we're saying is this, we exchange the truth of the holy God who's always there, always consistent, for that temporal created thing that's there for what we want right now and yet won't be there tomorrow. It's temporal, it's limited, it's physical. It has no supernatural powers, and yet we give it exactly that. The story, therefore, of the world is a story of good and evil, but it is also a story of God's wrath, God responding to good and to evil. Now, I want to say something very clearly here, and what we see in Scripture here, we often think of God's wrath as at final judgment, where final judgment, there is a final separation for people based on, have you obeyed God and turned to Christ, or are you going to be judged on your own merits? And at that point, everything will be clear, and the Bible says there's a day of wrath where those who will not receive Christ, those who have not turned from their sin, will be sent to hell forever, which is, hell is what we want to see. It's where God reigns without any more love or patience. You get to see just the unmerited wrath of God forever in eternity. And that is clear and that's true. And it's a just judgment. However, there's a future wrath, but there's also a here and now wrath. And here's the distinction. Actually, this particular context of this passage, the question is answered, where is God's wrath seen today? For God is pouring out his wrath upon sin today, not merely storing up a future judgment, though that is true, but you see it here on the earth. Notice, the wrath of God is not seen particularly in man. Notice this, it's not saying God is bringing wrath upon man for his relationship to plants or to animals per se, or to the cosmos, or even to other image bearers. But his wrath is seen in man's inward and self-destructive relationship to self, the lie about self. So I want you to notice this. What Paul highlights here is where God's wrath is seen particularly is the sin of lesbianism and sodomy, or we might also include transgenderism. But the basic sins of exchanging natural relations for unnatural relations. Human beings are meant to be in relationship. Genesis 1 and 2, the crowning achievement of that, which is very good, is that a man is not meant to be alone, but he's to leave his father and mother, be united to his wife. There in that covenant union, the creation mandate is furthered, glory is brought to the earth. This is how man is created to be. And the wrath of God is revealed when mankind gets so wicked that you would take and pollute that very holy union and make it the exact opposite. So look at this. Verse 26, for this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those which are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. So, the particular sin we're going to talk about today, according to Scripture here, is, let's say, lesbianism and sodomy, or homosexuality. Let's say lesbian and sodomy. Does mankind do this, or did God do this? What we see here is things fall apart. And God says, if you want life on your own terms outside of me, you can have it. But here will be the result. Your minds will be so warped that this is actually what you're going to do, and it's going to be seen as normal and protected. There is a moral issue, for there is sin, and there are also unnatural sins, which signal that something greater, more terrible is at work. Like I said earlier today, I do think it is worth us considering in the historical time frame continuum, our culture in some ways, and I don't think it overstates the fact to say we are doing in Western culture things that other cultures did not do, even sinful cultures. There is an unnatural type of sin that is being promoted and propagated according to Scripture here that 50 years ago we didn't see. Maybe you saw it coming. I wasn't alive 50 years ago. Some of you were. I mean, certainly people saw it coming, but certainly it's prevalent today. You can't avoid this. Your kids are being promoted this on Disney channels and things like that. So we need to understand these things. And the Bible doesn't just say lesbian sodomy is bad. It gives us five reasons here of why it is. So here's what as we walk through this text, here are five proven realities. five particular reasons that sodomy or lesbianism, or we might say transgenderism, is included in that, is proof of the wrath of God in exchanging the truth for a lie. So God not only says this is wrong, but he reminds us why it's wrong. So here, us friends, as we go through this. So at least five things I can see here. First, lesbianism and sodomy are wrong because they're unredeemable. We see this right here in 26 and 27. They are unredeemable in that they go against the created order. I want us to consider this. Sexual sin like adultery and pornography, they are sins. And in fact, 1 Corinthians says, they are sins of such a nature, they're actually of a worse variety in that you sin against your own body. You do damage to your body and to your mind, we might say, by warping the mind. But they are sins that can be, the relationship can be redeemed by repenting. And repentance would look like this. If you're committing adultery, get married. If you are sinning with pornography, stop doing it and get ready to get married. I had a young man a number of years ago when I was a youth pastor, and he was really struggling with pornography, but it was not a secret sin. He had brought it to his family, brought it to me, and said, you know, this is something, I mean, he asked his parents to take all the computers away in the house, and he got rid of anything on his phone that wouldn't. It was an act of humility on his part. And I remember he was probably 21, 22 at the time, and I remember shocking his parents because they were talking to me, and they're like, you know, I don't know what's ever going to happen to him. I said, well, we need to pray that he's going to get married pretty soon. Let's pray for his future spouse. Yeah, but he can't bring this to the marriage. You're right, he can't. But this is a reminder that, and actually it's interesting because the family was really pressuring him not to get married. But, you know, you got to get education first. You got to get your house in order first. You got to, you know, so they were really pushing a delaying of marriage, and yet this guy was really struggling. And the Bible says, what does 1 Corinthians say? You're struggling with this, get married, right? Here's how you redeem this. You repent to the Lord, but now you start to take responsibility in your life and look for a spouse and get married, or stay married, or prepare for marriage. Sex, see, here's the thing. Sex is good, and it's blessed in its proper context, according to God's word, Genesis 1 and 2. So the Bible says sex is always good, and it's redeemed in its proper context. Adultery, pornography are destructive sins. They're out of the proper context. But what it says here in Scripture is when we're talking about lesbianism or homosexuality or sodomy, there is nothing redeemable about these evil acts. You don't all of a sudden say, well, my gay lover and I were repenting to the Lord, so we're going to stay in a relationship. We're just not going to commit sinful acts in this. No, the whole relationship is wrong. You can repent, and we believe, friends, that God can change a person. I mean, every person is going to get married, not necessarily, but God actually says where the curse is found, he will redeem. God can change a person's desires. He can cause a person to repent. Certainly, a homosexual who repents, they will certainly practice celibacy, but they're also, for them, probably an entire lifestyle change will be necessary to say, what do I need to do to get out of this lifestyle? Even my friends need to change. But God can redeem that, but it will be a total change in how you view yourself and your world. There's nothing redeemable about these evil acts. In fact, I heard it said once that a homosexual wedding is the ultimate defiance of the created order of God. Right? Where Genesis 1 and 2 ends with the wedding, a homosexual wedding is an ultimate defiance of the created order of God. It is anti-creational in that it's a condemned covenant. It's a pagan covenant. It's the worship of the autonomy in man and the worship of an immediate pleasure with shaking a fist at God and saying, we are going to do this on our terms. And I dare you, God, to do something about it. It's unredeemable, the Bible says. Second, it's unnatural. I want you to think about this. Friends, God's word actually makes sense out of life. So meaning God's word actually created both biology and the meaning of biology. When he created male and female, not only did he said we are to complement each other in a marriage, but you are given different body parts to complement each other. This is about as far into the birds and the bees as I'm going to get today, but it's about as natural as you can get, right? It is biologically seen. For somebody to do the opposite, it goes against common sense, reason, and biology. So meaning this, it's a sin because you're basically doing, you're making war with your own body. You're putting your body parts into places they were never meant to go. You're doing things to your body that you were never meant to have. That's why, like transgenderism surgery, what you're saying is that, look, God, my true sense is what I feel like on the inside, not to what my body tells me. So I will cut off body parts in order to find my true feelings or my true identity. And you know, friends, it's a great lie about this today. You know from Scripture, and we already see it in our culture, the incredible damage that is done that way. It's horrid. It's horrid. And we must, from a young age, teach young men and young women, you're a boy, you're a girl, and this is what this means for your life. In fact, let me go far as to say, there are a couple of types of sins, and I'm going a little bit on a tangent here, that actually, and I've raised enough children, and I've been in the ministry long enough to know, children are very good at sinning and disobeying. It's not that difficult. They come out of the womb, it just comes very easily. Ironically, though, there are a couple of sins that are actually, the kids don't demonstrate. It has to be propagated by an adult towards them. They have to be groomed into them. One of those is racism. I'm amazed with this. Like I've been around tons of kids. And now we have new kids in our home. I've never seen 5 and 6 year olds that have any sort of, they don't care about skin color. And if they are, it's just an interest to them. They don't think anything moral of it. And this is my observation. You have to be told by an adult that this is somehow you're better than or you're less than or something like that. The other one is transgenderism. You have to be propagated that by adults who, for their own sick fantasies, are going to use you for their own pleasure, their own good, right? I've watched enough of these videos. They're horrid. They're awful of these moms that are saying, you know, my son doesn't want to be a son. He wants to be a girl. And it's always, without exception, always one of the parents that's pushing that. Without exception. I can tell you everything about that parent. I can tell you everything. But you see that. You always see it's this sick and twisted will of the mom or the dad that is doing this sort of thing. Or if the kid's confused at all, instead of just saying, you're a boy, here's what it means to be a boy, you're a girl, it's promoting and pumping these things. God help them. It's unnatural. There are things in this life that are just obvious to you. In fact, Romans 14 says that. Romans 14 says, look, or I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 14 says, look, there are like differences between men and women that are just obvious. And Paul, when he makes an appeal to the difference between men and women, he says, isn't it obvious? Doesn't nature tell you that men are different than women? He doesn't even make an appeal to other scripture. He just says, every human being can see this. You don't have to be redeemed or unredeemed. You just notice there's differences between male and female. It's obvious, right? This is life, how this works. We just live in a world of common sense and reason, right? So for example, if you saw someone driving on the wrong side of the road, and they continually drive on the wrong side of the road, you would have to contend with that, and you would just presume, and you would know there's something wrong with this person. It's not about ignorance of, you know, you're driving on the right side, or, I mean, unless they're like a 16-year-old, and they've got their lights, and they don't get it, you know. But most of the time, you would go, it would be unnatural, right? Because you would be going into oncoming traffic, so you would presume this person is either, they're drunk, they're high, but you would know there's something terribly wrong with this. It's unnatural, right? If you saw somebody, a gal, she's out on a morning jog, and she's wearing high heels, you would say, okay, there's something wrong with her. Who's she trying to impress? Because this is not going to end well, right? For her feet or, you know, for her knees or whatever else. I mean, there are just, there are just things that just, we look at and we go, okay, there's something wrong with that, okay? In fact, in order to do that sort of thing, what are you getting at here? What are you trying to prove here? It goes against common sense and reason. Is it not the same here? When the Bible says this is unnatural, it's because God gave us body parts. And we are sexual beings in the sense of we are created male and female, and our body parts correspond with our identity as male and female, and they're meant to fit together, not the opposite, okay? You've seen this too, men who are in the culture, or women who are in the culture, the man in the culture who plays the woman. you know, the homosexual man. And it's not just about the acts that he's committing, but he puts on this entire identity of acting girly or acting feminine or effeminate, and it's awkward. And you can tell the amount of energy that is spent trying to play this role that you believe will give you meaning, because society says this will give you meaning. You realize it's unnatural. And sometimes having conversations with people, again, as Christians, we speak the truth of love. We show kindness. But I've seen that also. They're awkward conversations. I'm dealing with a young man who's not acting normal, or a woman who's trying to act like a man, and she's a woman. It's unnatural. Not only is it unnatural, the Bible says it's dishonorable and shameful. We live certainly in a right-wrong context where there is right and wrong based on God's law. We also live in an honor-shame context where relationships are shamed or honored based on your obedience to God's law. So meaning this, we don't want to just live in an honor-shame context where all you do is listen to the dictates of the world and say, well, you know, it's always honorable to wear a face mask and never honorable to not, you know, all these other things we've seen in the last few years of honor-shame. But we do understand in Scripture, sometimes we, and children, sometimes part of your obedience, even in church, is you don't want to embarrass your parents. You don't want to bring shame upon them. That's not a bad thing. We want to think about other people around us. What will be bring shame to people? The Bible says things that are shameful, just everybody generally agrees that's shameful behavior. Right? Have you ever seen, like, you know, maybe a video, maybe it's TikTok or it's one of these social media where it's a person just, I don't like to watch them anymore, but somebody just acting, you know, they're drunk or they're high and they're being filmed by everybody and their behavior is just obnoxious. You use the statement like, we're embarrassed for them, right? You know, I mean, I've seen even some of our president's speeches where he's clearly out of it, and you just, I don't know whether to laugh or cry or to go, man, I'm embarrassed for him. I'm angry at anybody who allows him to do that and everything else, go on and on about that. But there's a certain just sense that comes up to you. This is just unnatural. And to get acted this way publicly is shameful. Here, there's a, what we mean by this is there's a place in God's world for everything. And the distinction and dishonorable passions are not only embarrassing for themselves and others, but they are taking unmentionable behaviors and bringing them out in the open. You know, maybe a similar type thing would be, you know, there's a reason why you have a trash can for your trash outside, covered up. So the raccoon, if you live in Minnesota, so the raccoons and bears and everything else, sometimes you have to tie those things down. There's a reason why you pick up a garbage man come once a week. There's a reason why you don't, you know, leave your trash right in the middle of the kitchen table and say, well, kids, you know, can you move the trash and pass me the next item of food for dinner, right? Just recognize there's a place for everything. There's a place for dishonorable things, and it's meant to be burned and have trash. And the same way the Bible says, there are unnatural passions that as a Christian we should fight against, and we should say, these are not normal. We need to repent of this. We need to turn from this. But the Bible says, it is when culture becomes the way, it's bringing these dark things that belong to decay and rot, bringing them out into the open. I want to say something here. Does it mean that, you know, a young man, I want to say a couple of things. My dad is a career psychologist, and he used to say that he dealt with, in his career in the field, he dealt with a number of homosexual men over the years. He said 30 years ago, 20 years ago, every single one of them had been abused as a child. Every single one that he dealt with. I think that's probably still true, and yet today we have, there's such a propagation of it, of any young man who maybe he's artistic or something, he's immediately going to be thought, well, you must be this, or you must be gay, or something like that. So I will say there are young men who are actually victims of other people's sin, and they begin to act that out because that's become normal for them, or that's their anger and shame and rage, and that's what they start to do. The Bible says that's still dishonorable, and we need to help them as Christians. Part of our evangelism is bring them to faith in the Lord and then recognize, look, God can redeem these things. He can restore these things. You have a covenant keeper in the Lord who's died for these sins, and he's given you a place. He can redeem your thinking, and even your passions and desires can be redeemed. Fourth, it's unsustainable. I want you to notice that when he says dishonorable passions, the idea is passions here. The worst glue to hold the relationships together is a relationship based on feelings only. Right? You recognize that. you know, you begin, if you're married, you begin with some sort of attraction. You realize pretty quickly you had to have an agreement to live together as you got married in sickness or health, better or worse, till death do us part, right? Because there was a covenant of marriage that said, look, when our passions may not always be there, or when things get worse for us, or when things get difficult, we will continue to stick together as man and wife till death do us part. The Bible says here, these relationships are only feelings-based, and they're disordered feelings of that. It's unsustainable. Feelings must be the basis, along with convenience, status, fear, but not biology. Not only this, it's unsustainable because you cannot further life. Every man or woman who has become a lesbian or a sodomite, a mother and a father at one point to bring them into life. You cannot sustain the culture. That's just common sense and reason. You can't create babies. You can't. There's a lot of things you can't do because God didn't ordain or create the world this way. And it's going against God's orders. And finally, it's unlivable. It's unlivable. To act unnaturally is life-sucking. It's energy. The question is this. Where is God's judgment seen? It is seen in these type of relationships. You lie about God and it will soon lead to lie about self. Ultimately, these type of behaviors are an ultimate hatred of self because you hate the way that God made you, and so you're acting upon them. They are self-defeating, self-destructive. Is there any question here? I don't know exactly what the rates are, but we increase suicide rate. Right? It's part of your bringing judgment upon yourself. I mean, it's irony. I mean, it's crazy. Even we see the vast majority of here the Bible says there is receiving of himself the due penalty. What are we talking about here? Well, we certainly see a warped mind, but we also see physical ramifications. Is the question why the vast majority of atheists are homosexual men. Right? There is just, there's unnaturalness that brings its own due penalty. It's life expectancy. Now we see monkeypox. Which is the culture of tough people risk for monkeypox. The vast majority of people have monkeypox. Disease. Self, the warping of a person's natural outlook will change everything. And this is one of the saddest things to see in our culture. It is evil to see these young men and young women who are propagated by their parents and their adults in their life to say, you can have transgender surgery. Anyone who wants to do suicide is increasing. Because you've done, in order to have meaning, you've done everything you can. Even committed horrible acts of vandalism against your own body, and all of a sudden you still don't find their meaning. What else can you do for? So I believe, friends, as a Christian, in the next few years, we'll have the opportunity to evangelize. Because, really, we're the only people who are true. When the culture, if you think that the culture has the elite, these evil schmucks on television who are promoting this, you think they're going to be there for the person who's promoting transgender surgery? When the doctor money and their fame, are they going to be there for that person when they ever come back? Those relationships that are destroyed, are they going to be there for the person? We know the answers. We know the truth. This is the world that we live in. This is judgment that will lead to the one that's a Christian. There is judgment and wrath out in our culture. Judgment is seen in the world. It is seen. That is judgment. God's judgment upon the earth. It's seen the culture falls apart. It's seen the place. The question, though, is that where did this start? How do we get to this point? Very easy to say, well, that's not me. The world. How do we get to this point today? Now, we might say that this is all a product of romanticism, modernity, the modern fight of the modern self. This is in particular. Of the feminist movement. Wayne Grudem wrote a book about theological feminism leads to liberalism. He backtraced every church, every denomination, every educational institution, homosexuality. First in Britain, 50 years ago, women can be preachers, women can be pastors. Because once you've done that, you basically end scripture, and the popular thing will not be the popular thing. In every single went in the last 75 years. And I'm talking about men and the feminists. Women being at enmity with the home, being with men for jobs of performance as being my freedom is not found in the home. Him and his wife trip. Also, you didn't take up work to go out and get money. You didn't have time. God. Talked about the kind of on the world that they met in both the college of the world and some of the ones who went to the old tour, which is kind of engaged in the act of another word that it was a soft man. They would rather talk about endless the son of man dominion you see this today? We've been on call 1 20. fundamentally how virtual manipulation today. You better support all these other people actually in their you probably have seen the documentary. Watch the document. What is a Catholic thought leader who just told the Catholic people what is that? And it's amazing how people refuse to answer the question, but you're in such a fury. I don't wait for you. This is an unspoken word. The culture invasion. That's a question we might have. Looking to the despair. But the question might have mistake, my people. They just put the wrong information. What is the third man over 20? We're going to walk through the. And people that just don't inform, right? The Bible says, he knows who are committed and promoting these. But this is the nature of the human, condition. This is you outside of Christ. If you're not in Christ, you may not have to find all these things. But the Bible says, original people, they were filled with the fear of covenants and doubts. But the third strike, to doubt the militia, they are God. Let them be able to the vengeance of evil did no good to the people. Food of the people come to the root of it. I want to tell us to that we do to your we're filled with it. Love, this is the saturation of the mind. The condition outside of Christ always built on self doing what I want to do on my terms. They are gossips, liars, impotent, insolent, boastful, obedient to parents. Although they know that God is the priest of the prince, this is a place they can to the most effective. Knowledge is not the problem. Religion, this is the world. God in some God right to be and come back on freedom in our terms. They will recruit others in this endeavor. This is the evil of evil. From God and from all mankind, you will oppress anybody who says otherwise. That's the tolerant culture today. Cancel culture today. Why? Because God's word brings to you whether we like it or not. So we stop hating anybody who tells us we cannot participate in the act that we want. We think freedom is on terms of iron is basic enslavement according to the absolute dictator. This is the rhythm that you keep doing whatever the culture says you need to do. So, let's see this. The kind of in our culture and our job here. Maybe it's not bad as other places, you know, we're not. These people are not on the East Coast somewhere where they've been promoted without question. But you know why? Hey, friends, our God is great and grace economics and ownership police force, God deserves protection of family and marriage. But we need to look at culture thoughtless and they were not happy people who had really good. They were often trouble cultures. Mark Snyder's son, money for you. He'll talk about a lot of what they're doing. Basic education, basic understanding, and yeah. Such a that's based on their self-destructive type. Reality. The rise of modern self-healing is by the government in our nation. Why? And if you don't get the permission of God, in this. What does it mean? We